Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you all the updates on the books you really want to read that are going viral on BookTok and Bookstagram. And we are finally back with new episodes for spooky season, the month of October, our favorite holiday. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And Catherine is correct. The month of October itself is our favorite holiday.
Yeah.
The entire part.
Yes.
Well, to kick off spooky season, we kind of start with a little murder mystery. We are doing The Maid today, not The Housemaid by Freida McFadden. They are different. I was also confused. Both are trendy right now, but The Maid. So this is about a maid in a hotel who comes across the dead body of a mega millionaire in his hotel room when she's cleaning. The maid herself, Molly, is kind of strange. It's very clear from, it's in first person, but she describes herself as not having a lot of like social skills, social cues, understanding of people's like sarcasm and inflections. And so it definitely seems like she has some sort of like learning disability or is maybe on the autism spectrum. And she gets wound up in this murder mystery, and people don't always see her for what she is because they see her awkward social skills, and it all plays into how the murder mystery is solved and how Molly gets dragged into all of it. So yeah, that's the summary.
So first things first, can I hear y'all's reviews?
Yeah, I'm going to go first because I really like mine. And I have a feeling y'all have seen this one because it's pretty high up on the Goodreads one star reviews. And it is Nita Prose, more like Nita Editor.
That is one that I also pulled.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled two just dear. Because. Yeah. And it
do
is
you want to do yours then?
Yeah, I'll do mine next. Also one star. How ironic that the main character loves cleaning and yet this book was a huge mess.
As usual, I pull mine from Storygraph because we all pull the same ones if we don't. This is a two star. And it says, this book is so overhyped and I have no clue how it won a Goodreads award last year. Boring book and I didn't like a single character.
It won a Goodreads award?
Mm-hmm.
I'm shook.
It's actually like gotten a lot of awards. Like It's like a very...
And we can get into it, but there's one key component. I know why it got awards, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can probably already tell by our tone that we were not necessarily huge fans. But the overall Goodreads rating is 3.8 out of 5. The overall Amazon rating is 4.2 out of 5. Where do you guys come down?
Okay. I actually gave it a 3 because I did not hate it. I did not regret reading it. It left some things wanting. The main character was really artfully done, and that's why it's won awards. Because she, like I said, has some sort of learning disability or is on the autism spectrum. And so she makes a really interesting narrator because you're not like she's not unreliable, but she's hard to follow sometimes, which adds to the kind of ambiance of the mystery. I just wasn't I especially hated the epilogue and it was slow sometimes. And I can see where people are like, oh, she's so annoying. Well, it's because you clearly don't spend a lot of time around people who maybe have a disability. But I think once you get used to her syntax and stuff, it's a cute little story. But I was hoping for a murder mystery, not a cute little story. Though the author does say she was inspired by Clue, which Molly Gray, the Blacks, you know, they're all their color names, Clue. Right. So it's just kind of supposed to be like a cute Clue thing, I guess.
So I'm actually down to go next because I gave it 3.5 stars. However, all 3.5 stars were essentially because of the narrator. I loved her. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Caitlin. She's the reason that I read the book. She's also the reason I didn't DNF. However, because the reason the main character like made up for so many of the other books' failings for me was because I think the idea of like, I interpreted the main character as having autism. And to me, the idea of an autistic main character in a mystery is really fascinating because she'll notice details that other people won't, but she'll miss it other people see. And that's like sort of is what it gave. However, I debate knocking it down to 3 stars because I also think the book had a lot of failings. Number one, it is super unnecessarily cheesy. Like, to the degree of gagging, there are chapters in the book that are borderline unreadable because they're just, like, pulled out of a fairy tale or something. They're, like, utter bullshit. Also, it's not a mystery. No. It is identifiably not a mystery. And that is, like, a huge betrayal of, A, the way the book is marketed, but, B, the potential of having a main character with a disability. I thought the point of all of it was going to show, like, because Molly is so perceptive and detail-oriented that, like, that totally changes how she would, like, investigate a mystery.
Yeah. Instead, it says, because she's so trusting of people and doesn't know social cues, she's the only one who doesn't know. It's an only a mystery to her.
Yeah. Everyone knows about it but her, which I also thought was just, like, potentially veering a little into ableism.
Yes.
I was going to give the book 2 stars at one point because I hated the fact that like Molly kind of had like the wool pulled over her eyes. Like I thought that was like stupid. And the fact that it took her so long to figure out, I didn't like. And the point to me of writing a book with a main character with a disability is that you empower them and you like write a story that's realistic, but also like does justice to like the complicated experience. And so I was like, if this whole point and ending of this book is that Molly like needs people to take care of her, like I'm like giving it a 1 star and I'm like going on a rant about it. The book does salvage itself and it kind of like ends up making her an important character in the plot. And she's not as like being pushed around and like influenced by others as she seems, which is why I bumped it back up to a 3.5. But long way to say there are a lot of pros and a lot of cons in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with both of you. I gave it 3 stars. I was cringing through a lot of the book and I felt secondhand embarrassment for moments with Molly. And like, I was very curious about her. I found her detail-orientedness. I felt her like hyperfixation and focus and like cleanliness and like her relationship with her grandmother was super interesting. And like her backstory I was genuinely intrigued by, but her interactions with a couple of the characters bordered on cringe and bordered on too much. Like the fact that she could be easily, I don't know if it gives it away, but like the fact that she could be easily goaded into thinking like cocaine was powdered donuts.
Yeah.
Bordered on a little crazy to me. Like I think most people would say there's something fishy going on if it's this dirty all the time.
It's a very trusting character and abused for it, which was depressing to read about.
Yes. And I think there are people out there that are overly trusting and get abused by people who are manipulative and know that they're overly trusting. And I think that could have been the storyline without her being so trusting. And the fact that, like you said, Casey, that she didn't know the situation, but everyone else around her did and didn't help her until she absolutely needed help. And also like that it didn't seem like a mystery. It redeemed itself at the end, I think, when we learn more about the full situation. I know Caitlin doesn't really like the epilogue. I don't love the epilogue, but it gave a twist that
it should have been way earlier on in the book.
Yes. I didn't necessarily see it coming, but like, I think that's the point of the mystery is you're supposed to have like twists. There were really no twists in this mystery book, which I feel like was poorly marketed.
It was an epilogue, which is not part of the story.
Yeah. So I think if you're going to market a mystery book and you're going to make it about a murder mystery, you have to have more twists and more turns and more suspects.
More murder and mystery.
They can't be fucking obvious to everyone the whole time. It's just, it was so annoying. Okay. So did you guys think, was it more plot or character driven?
It's more plot driven, I think. Because
it should be character driven, but yes, it doesn't end up being that way.
I would want to make the argument that I would wish it was character driven. Like, yeah, I think it's very plot driven. Like, everything's happening to Molly. She doesn't really control the plot until, like, basically the end.
Yes.
The epilogue. They saved all the good stuff for the epilogue, which pissed me off.
Yes, I agree with that. It had all the makings of a good character driven mystery, and it did not achieve that. Have you / would you read other books by the author?
I'm not going to continue with the series. I know there's more to the series, but I don't feel any urge to pick up where it left off. Like, it was a very, like, neatly tied together story. Like, I don't think there's any loose threads really at all.
This read like YA, and I think if the author, I don't know if she does, has YA, I'd be interested, but not in adult novels, I don't think. Like, I did like the writing, and you knew the characters so very well, and there was a lot of good things there. I just, this specifically was not the most interesting to me. Let's be honest, it was too cute for me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this author should be writing in the mystery genre, unless she wants to just kind of like completely revamp her ideas about it, because
I would love to see her just take Molly out in the world and like discover who she is without her grandma.
That's what I was like. I think this would have been a really good YA novel about a person with a disability, like learning how to navigate the world. Like, the main character would have been better in other settings, which again, I think is the biggest failure of the book. So yeah, I'm also not really interested in continuing the series. If she had written things that weren't a mystery, if she wrote like just like realistic fiction, I would consider it. But
she could have like leaned into campy mystery, which you can get away with more.
Yeah,
like, but it's not campy enough to be campy.
No, it's just, it's like a Hallmark movie was a mystery. It's just
right. If you want to go Clue, like lean into it. Like, yeah, Clue is funny. Yeah.
Like, you kept saying Clue, and I was like, I don't get Clue vibes from this at all.
The whole back of the book has Clue character cards for every character in it.
Wow. See, I read this on e-reader, so that's why I didn't know that.
I did, too. It's in the back. Come on, Catherine. That's where the questions were.
The ending just keeps going and going and going, and at a certain point, I was like, finish the fucking book.
And then it drops the random twist on you, and you're like, I thought we were done.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, though, the pacing, other than the end, which you just mentioned? The end, it was like, okay, come on.
I feel like I can't knock the pacing too much because, like, it was a fairly short book, but I felt the need to stop at certain points to just, like, decompress from the level of, like, social anxiety I had over Molly's actions. I'm a very sensitive person to kind of, like, social awkwardness because of, like, my anxiety and just growing up as like the socially awkward kid. So I felt like a little too empathetic and I needed a moment. But once I got past like the first few chapters, it was fine pacing wise. I mean, I'm not going to give it like a gold star for pacing, but I don't think it was bad.
Her character development in the beginning was a little slow and I did stop after that, but then I needed to get it done. And I sat down and basically read the whole rest of the book over like a day and a half when I had time. So it's a quick read. It's just like the beginning is kind of slow. The middle, I feel like I was kind of pushing myself to get through it. It was an easy enough read. I don't know if it was well paced. So like I could get through it quickly, but I think like the beginning and the end kind of drag.
So because everyone knows what's happening except for Molly, I actually think there's very little tension in the book, which is normally what kind of like repels the pacing, is your like sense of like consequences and danger and like conflict. And there's just like really none of that in the book. And so I would say there's a steady pacing. However, like, as we've said, the book like lives or dies by the main character. If you don't like Molly, I honestly don't see a reason for you to finish the book, because the plot actually doesn't really entice you to keep reading. I did finish this book in like a day and a half. Mm-hmm. I found it easy because the narrator, Molly, is like very stream of consciousness to just like kind of read and read and read and read and read, because it just kind of like all flows into each other. So again, I do think it's not a long book. It's a quick read, but there's just not a lot of tension.
No, you're reading for Molly, not for the plot. And the tension is Molly's social faux pas, and you're feeling anxious for her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What about, this actually was made into a TV show or a movie one. Have you seen it? Would you watch it?
I did not know that. I guess I didn't do my research.
Oh, Florence Pugh to star in Murder Mystery The Maid for Universal Pictures based on Edith Prest's debut novel. I'll be real. I will watch. Happened. No, it looks like it will be released in 2025. Mm-hmm. I'll watch for Florence Pugh, to be real.
Yeah, I like Florence Pugh a lot. I'd be curious. We'll see what happens.
The fact that Florence Pugh is in it makes me think it has a big budget and they can actually potentially make it better than the book. Yeah. Which very rarely happens, but I feel like they will heighten the mystery and the tension and up the pace, which I think will actually like potentially make it better than the book.
Okay. Oh, we'll see if it comes to fruition.
Yeah. All right. You guys, time for a busy girl rating.
I'm going to stick to my 3. I don't really know if it's totally, I mean, like pacing wise, I could go up to a 4, but I don't think it's totally worth taking time out of your busy schedule to read. Just wait for the movie to come out, I guess.
LOL. I'm going to agree. I'm going to give it a 3. It's definitely not bad, but yeah, there's just other books that stand out more.
Okay, actually, I'm going to surprise you here, and I'm going to give it a 4. Because okay. It's so quick. And like, if you're sitting down to read it, you're going to get through it. Like, if you're wanting to read this book, you'll get through it. And because, like you said, stream consciousness, it's easy to get through. It's not long. It took us such a short time to read. And if you like, you know, not everybody loves the dark, gory mystery thrillers like we do when we read Spooky Season, Tender as the Flesh. So I think this probably appeals to a wide variety of people that just maybe aren't us.
True. Okay. Well, spoiler alert. We are now going to get into the part of our episode where we talk about stuff that will ruin the book for you. So go back and read it and then come back to the episode.
Let's run some books for people. Let's go.
The first question is, what did you think of Molly as a character, which you've already touched on a bit? What about how she used people's perception of her to avoid questions from investigators?
I think it was interesting. I think that's like the most interesting part of her experience, because when investigators are like, you didn't tell me the truth, she's like, you didn't ask me the question, basically. Like, I said to the extent of what I wanted to say, but you didn't ask a probing question.
Why'd someone talk to me? I'm just the maid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. She played on people's stereotypes and like misconceptions about maids and about her. And about her, like, social ills, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Social faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very interesting once you get to the end and, like, the very whiplash epilogue, although it is whiplash, like, when you find out that, like, no, she did actually cover up a murder. She knows full and well who did it. And she put in technically innocent man behind bars, but, like, he wasn't innocent. And she thought she was giving justice out for what he did to her and to others. And I think that's
also, it makes you rethink the whole book too, but we'll get to that later.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like there, it adds a little bit of plot holes, but I'm okay. But it's interesting because like it reminds me, because I'm watching a lot of Law and Order right now. It reminds me of what the ADAs all tell, like when they're prepping their witnesses, tell them, like, just answer the question, nothing more. Like, you are just supposed to, like, stick very short and sweet. You answer the question truthfully, but you don't give them more than they need.
All right. So actually, the reason why this book got 3.5 stars for me instead of just 3 is I really enjoyed the actual, like, moral grayness of Molly. Because she comes across, obviously, as someone who loves rules and also really wants to do the right thing. But I kind of liked that her, like, disdain for people who use others and who treat others badly kind of allows her to create these, like, gaps in her very rigid, like, moral structure. And I thought that was really interesting to watch, because, and that was the part that saved the book, because then when you look back on the book, you actually see a lot of situations where Molly is using agency and understands more than people think, which before you get to the epilogue, which, yes, relevant critique, why is that the very last part of the book? You're not really, you don't really get that. You don't know for sure that Molly is aware of what's happening. And so I liked the moral grayness that is sort of revealed in her, like, avoiding questions from the investigators.
I like Molly as a character. That's the whole reason I kept reading. Because she is a unique character, you don't get a POV like hers hardly ever. And I like what the author was trying to do. I'm not sure she succeeded all of the way, but I like what she was trying to do. And it did. It made... Where in the beginning, when you first meet Molly, you think everything she's going to do is predictable. She starts to become a little more unpredictable as she realizes there is injustice and there are people she cares about on the line. And as she starts to sort of get thrust into so many social situations at once, she's more rapidly picking up on some things. So she becomes more unpredictable, which makes it a little more interesting. And yeah, you just really know, like, when she found that ring and went and sold it, I was like, oh, shit, girl, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
You just really are not sure what's going to come out of her mouth. And it made it really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That scene shook me.
Yeah, I was like, pop off queen, because she was like finders keepers kind of thing. Or like, I was like, you know, that logic is sound, but not when it's during a murder investigation and they can easily find out that you pawned a ring.
She's like, right. I'm Robin Hood. I was like, no, you're going to jail.
Yeah. Also, she low-key probably still should have gone to jail for that. But
she
kind
probably
of
got,
like,
some slack because of her.
Right. Which I did like. I feel like that does show, though, like, how her grandma's death impacted her, because when she wasn't sure what the rules are or wasn't sure what the right thing to do would be, she would ask her grandma, because there was a lot that she didn't understand of what other people expected of her. And she wanted to do what people expected. She just didn't always know what that was. But then this person who she used to be able to ask wasn't there. And that also contributed to her making these, like, really crazy choices, because she was just in panic mode and, like, didn't have anyone to ask.
It was cute at the end how you saw Juan Manuel starting to fill that gap for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was like, no, they're saying this. And you're like, yeah. Finally, someone helping her out. And she's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And once she learns something, she learns it, you know, but
right,
someone's got to be like.
And Mr. Preston getting, like, his feet off the sideline, like, Jesus Christ, Mr. Preston, help
fucking
her.
Finally.
I have so many.
Yeah. Mr. Preston with the super high-powered lawyer daughter? Like, come on.
Mr. Preston, who basically says, I am your grandfather, but I'm not going to tell you, and you'll never figure it out for yourself. What the hell?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
rude. What the actual fuck? I was like, excuse me?
No, she'll never put two and two together. She's just like, oh, Mr. Preston's so nice. It's like, girl, that's your granddad and your aunt sitting there helping you. That's why they're helping you.
Yeah, I also thought that was totally unnecessary and actually made what they were doing less good, because part of the reason they cared about her is she's, like, actually technically their relative.
I thought it was shady.
It was extremely shady.
Why'd you wait till she was a murder suspect?
Yeah, why? I was like, You are bizarre.
Well, because he was on the sidelines of like, be careful, stuff like that, knowing full well she wasn't going to understand the warnings and like the subterfuge of every situation. So it's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
And the way he told the story in a way that he knew she wouldn't put together just really angered me, because he knew her. He knew she needed those warnings. And then he tells her a story in a way that she will not figure it out.
Yes. And also, sorry, the completely bizarre and random murder of her grandmother. Like, yeah. Or like assisted suicide.
Yeah. Oh,
her grandma.
Yeah. And I think the point was to make you doubt that maybe Molly did suffocate that guy.
That was never in
but
doubt.
Also,
yeah, it did not work at all.
It was the point. I'm not saying it was successful, but I was like, oh my god, now she's like, I guess she did it out of love, but also now you're questioning her character, and I don't know. I didn't like that either. Also, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw in one more thing. Did you catch in the epilogue where she said that the first Mrs. Black looked just like her and her grandma?
No.
No, yes. I did not catch that.
Yes. She basically made it sound like that term is in mom.
Yes. That, yeah, she looked like her grandma, yes.
It, like a salt and pepper version of me. And I was like, are you trying to tell me this is your dead mom? Anyway, there was
I'm not reading book two. and none
I
of these things
you to go back and
actually
read the epilogue and be like, what the heck?
Yeah. And it's annoying because none of these things were actually part of the plot. Like, none of them actually changed the plot at all. And so it was like, why are we getting all of these like weird extra details that like don't change anything?
Mm-mm. And I didn't like the cute little happily ever after with Juan Manuel. Like, she deserved it, but also like that was so easy.
Yeah, like I feel like you could have just left it open ended. And like, I'm guessing it's setting up book two, but it's not obvious it's setting up book two. So like, it just left plot holes, if anything. Like, it didn't leave me wanting to continue this series. Like, you need to make it a little more obvious that this is supposed to be so it continues to be continued.
My guess is this book saw such success that she wrote a second. I'm not sure she intended to originally.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, sorry. I derailed us with the talk of.
No, it's okay. I was also
all my favorite plot holes.
It's okay. I was also happy to join in. So. Technically, this was, in some sense, supposed to be a take on a murder mystery. What did you think of Mr. Black's death and all the elements that ensued as part of the murder mystery? Air quotes around mystery.
I mean, you had your stereotypical characters for a murder mystery. You know, the gold digger wife, the ex-wife, the jealous daughter, the bad guy, nice act, hotel guy, you know, like you had all your stereotypical characters. So it did fit the murder mystery mold. And I guess that's where the clue inspiration comes in. But it wasn't super a mystery. And you wanted the guy to be murdered.
Yeah, like you didn't feel any connection to Mr. Black. Like, I feel like we could have delved more into his past that wasn't just through Giselle, which I think she was the most interesting side character, just because I did kind of want to know more about her past and her history. And I felt a little bit of a like sorry for her, especially because Mr. Black just seemed like he was very one dimensional, like a shitty person that you wish was dead, like you said. So like, I don't know. It's just, it was weird because I didn't care who killed him, which I feel like you should care about that in a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm. Or like his assets and the stakes needed better explained. But at this point, it's kind of like a bummer he's dead and Giselle or his other wife gets the thing, but I don't really care who gets it, you know?
Yeah, this is the part where I think they leaned in a little too hard to the like moral grayness and actually like veered into justifying everyone's actions. Because like the best part about like truly morally gray characters is like you see both sides, you know, you critique them, but you also understand like their justifications. This story felt all like a justification for murder. Like, and I think it's better when you have both. you know, and that's part of the lack of the actual mystery element is it honest to God doesn't actually matter who's killed him. Like the whole time you don't really care. Like you said, Catherine, like in it, actually finding out who did it doesn't really matter to the plot at all, except it changes a lot for Molly specifically, but it doesn't change anything that's happened. It doesn't change the real justification. Yeah. Like
it just makes her an accomplice, which
right. And so, yeah, the mystery was not mysterying.
No. Like I said, I like the idea and the concept. I think it could have been better.
Right.
It's not a bad execution. It just could have been better.
Right.
Yeah. You need more intrigue.
Exactly. Intrigue is the perfect word. What did you think of Giselle and Molly's relationship? This was a part of the book I found genuinely so fascinating, specifically Giselle and Molly. And then there's also Rodney, who obviously uses both of them for personal gain.
But I liked the Giselle element.
Yeah.
You know, it started as she's just the maid. Who's she going to tell? What's her stake? But then you can tell she kind of was sort of friends with her, but then she threw her under the bus. But then she still kind of felt bad about because Molly was her friend. And that was really interesting. And she ends up being the one, like, truly morally gray characters, Giselle. Like, you don't really know where she stands in the end, even. Yeah. So I liked that one.
I think it was truly the most in-depth relationship besides like Molly and her grandmother, which wasn't really in-depth. It was more of like a loving, nurturing relationship. But this was the most morally gray relationship where Molly, because of her lack of social cues, genuinely believes that this is a friendship and like trusts her wholeheartedly. Giselle, to the naked eye, is obviously like using her. But it doesn't come from a malicious place. It comes from like a self-preservation place where as unlike Rodney, it's a very selfish, self-centered way of doing things instead of like self-preservation per se. So, and Giselle technically doesn't throw Molly under the bus. It's Rodney, even though she tells like Molly to go get the gun. She never planned on like giving that to the police. That was all Rodney who, because Molly trusted him, sold her out. And I think it was like interesting because you hear from Giselle's background that she grew up in Detroit, very poor, and she worked her way out of it, even if like it's portrayed that she's a gold digger and she uses her looks to get ahead. She also didn't stop Rodney, but like she also didn't actively help Rodney as much. And so it makes it a very morally gray. While Rodney comes from like wealth and is like a privileged white boy who's gotten everything he's ever wanted. And so like he's extremely self-centered and egotistical and using Molly for like very malicious reasons. While Giselle is just trying to stay ahead and get out of her situation.
Yeah, I really liked Giselle. Especially because, Caitlin, like you're saying, you're never totally sure how to read her. And even Molly isn't totally sure how to read her. But this is one of the parts in the book that I think is like more empowering for Molly, is that Molly says, you know what, like, I believe in our friendship. I know like other people have lied to me, other people have used me, but like, I'm going to decide what I believe. And like, I really feel like it was genuine. I feel like there's good in Giselle. And I thought that was kind of a cool point in the book that Molly said, you know what, like, fuck all these other people, fuck what they think. Like, I'm doing what I think is right in honor of like what I believe happened. But also from an outsider's perspective, you're also like, I mean, we love to support and believe battered women. And so you're not really mad at her for saving Giselle, but you're also just like, are never totally sure like what her deal is.
Yeah, she might still be being fooled.
Yeah. And also, fuck Rodney. Like, obviously, the worst.
Yeah, we don't need to say much about him. We just hate him. The true villain of the book, not Mr. Black, who's dead. Rodney.
No, yeah. Rodney definitely deserves to go to prison for murder, even if he didn't commit it.
A question that came from the book itself. Is Molly and her willingness to help others, brave or naive?
It is a good question. And I think both.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's brave to trust others. I also think like Molly's lack of self-preservation was actually frustrating at some points. But like if we go back to like the Giselle example, I think that was brave because she didn't go into it thinking I'm 100% sure this person's one way or the other. She made the decision based on like, do I believe this person deserves a second chance? And I think at least in that instance, it's brave. I think that was part of her character development, though, is that at some points it feels very naive.
Yeah. Most people would not be helping Giselle the way Molly did. And I think that's incredibly brave to like go full force to help her, even if not realizing consequences for yourself. But it's also incredibly naive to assume that people have your best interests at heart.
Yeah.
When she obviously didn't. And not many people have the worldview that Molly does. And that's not to like knock Molly. I think that's just like incredibly unique and fascinating and cool. Mm-hmm. And I wish that more people had a more positive worldview of people, but it does get you hurt if you don't have some realistic expectations of what people are going to give you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with everything.
Okay. Well, Molly does have allies. Some of them, particularly Manuel, risking his own life and well-being to help her. Why do you think they did that? And what did you think of their commitment to her?
One Manuel was only the truly... like her true ally. Like Mr. Preston, I don't think was a true ally because he could have been a true ally from the get-go, but he wasn't until she called for help instead of like actively trying to help her. Like he was very in the background until she was the one who made the initiative and called him. Like she's not, you can't expect her to do that if truly she is on the spectrum. And she, if she is your granddaughter too, you should be like reaching out a lot more.
Yeah, adding that part made me dislike him. I would have liked him otherwise, but adding in the part that he was her secret grandfather made me not like him and think he was not a genuine, helpful friend. You're right. Juan Manuel respected her from the beginning, and that was obvious. And they lived happily ever after. Everyone else was just kind of... Charlotte was only there because her dad told her to be no high-powered lawyer like her would do that pro bono and pay the bail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unrealistic.
Yeah. So. It was insane. I was like, right.
Yeah. 10% of an $800,000 bail is a fucking lot.
Yes. Also, really? They made her bail that much? I was just like, she's a maid. Like, nothing wrong with being a maid, but that's an obscene bail number.
Also, a way to make the detective like a woman, but then make her a bitch. Like, come on. Yes.
A bitch who clearly has like zero understanding of the autism syndrome. Okay. So we've touched on the epilogue a little bit already. The epilogue changes a lot. That's where we really get clarity on what happened in the hotel room. What did you feel about that? And what did you feel about the message? You know, what was it that the author was trying to convey?
I don't know if she was trying to convey anything in the epilogue except for stay tuned for more, I guess. But also like, no, I don't know. I just like, I hate like, cause I feel like this was a question at the back of the book, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she was trying to convey the traditional like murder mystery twist, plot twist ending and plot twist murder. But it was done horribly wrong because it was way too late and the murder had already been kind of solved. So there was no reason to do this. It kind of reminded me of Where the Crawdads Sing. And we all did not like that.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't care who murdered him. Like, you have to get me to care about the twist in order for it to be effective, and you have to surprise me. And it surprised me, but I didn't give a shit.
I think the goal going in seemed like it was even people with lack of social cues or a disability or, you know, whatever unspoken thing Molly was dealing with, even they can be important players and shouldn't be forgotten. Did it come off that way? Maybe.
Right. I think it really sort of did and sort of didn't. I would add that like a big recurring theme is how much we don't even see people who are sort of, you know, like quote unquote the help, like dishwashers, maids, doormen, yard people. Like we don't like fully see those people and they're sort of invisible. And so I also think the critique was like, you know, these people are people and you shouldn't treat them like they don't actually exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that like don't underestimate them.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Do you guys have any recommendations?
Play Clue.
Play Clue. I haven't played Clue in forever. I should really play that sometime. I loved that growing up.
My family doesn't like playing with me because I win.
That tracks 100%. Like yeah.
Actually, right. I don't like playing most board games with me because I really like board games. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like we've read some good murder mysteries in the past for spooky season that just fit the murder mystery bill better. Like Missing Woman or Local Woman Missing. See, I can't even remember now.
The Guest List.
That one was 2 years ago. Local Woman Missing, The Guest List.
Right.
True murder mysteries.
Right. I think I'm actually going to recommend My Sister, the Serial Killer, because that's also like a murder mystery that's not a murder mystery because it's also kind of told from the perspective of the people who are the killers. But yeah. I think that book is a little bit more honest about what it actually is, which led me to have like, you know, it's been months since we read it and it wasn't like my favorite book in the world, but I have a more favorable impression thinking about it now because you go into it knowing what to expect and it delivers what you expect it will deliver. Also, it was like 200 pages. So yeah, go read that one.
Yeah, that's an easy read. Very busy girl friendly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Like our best ever rated busy girl book.
Yeah, it's like one of the only like unanimous fives we've ever had.
Well, okay. There you have it, y'all. We're back, we're ready, and we're better than ever with spooky season books. So let us know what you think. If you disagree with us and really love this book, we want to hear it because we love disagreement and we love debate. And also, I would love
sorry.
Yeah, also sorry. I would just also love to hear from someone who loved this book and like their unique perspectives about why you love it, because I think us three are all in complete agreement on it, which doesn't happen all the time. But I want to hear from someone who like gives this 5 stars and it's their number one book. So yeah, reach out to us. We're at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere on socials. You can find us busygirlspod@gmail.com to email us. And busygirlspod.com for our website.
And don't worry, this was just a little toe dip into spooky season. Spookier is coming. We're not going quite as hard in the paint as we did last year. I think we have a wider variety, but I think you guys will enjoy. So come back and join us again. With that, I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.